When you think back to those years, to Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II, and being part of those championships, which at the time for you was the greatest thing, the biggest thing, but to see what this game has grown into, could you have ever envisioned, take us back to Super Bowl I, and as big as it felt, we were calling it a Super Bowl, did you ever envision how it would grow to this?
No, I couldn't. I don't know that anybody really saw it, Vic. I don't know that anybody really understood what was going to happen. I was telling somebody earlier about Pete Rozelle at Super Bowl XI. He had his longtime assistant, Bill Granholm, sitting next to him, and he looks out over Super Bowl XI, and he says, "Granny, did you ever believe it would get this big?" Now, Pete's a commissioner for 25 years,
yeah.
And this was Super Bowl XI.
Right.
So I remember an instant replay. I'm talking about life after football. And I said, well, you know, I'll be around for a couple years, and I'll drift off into the mists of time and go back to being whatever I'm going to be doing. And that'll be the end of it. And that's pretty much what I thought. So the success of the game, the blown up nature of the game is just stunning to me. I just look at it and shake my head, and the fans are absolutely sensational. The Packer fans are just over the top, you know, and they still, we went to the playoff game there with the Giants, and
right.
I was introduced, and I got a roar like a quarterback. Big. I mean, it was just wonderful. It was probably one of the nicest ovations I've ever had, and it just made my heart pound. So I probably never will get over it.
You know, you talk about when we think Packers, we think of Jerry Kramer, we think of Bart Starr, but always think of Vince Lombardi. And you pull up to this place, this JW Marriott, and that Super Bowl trophy, as large as life, is there, and it's called the Lombardi Trophy. Number one, you know, when my regret in life is never getting to know or talk with Vince Lombardi, but reading about him through any number of books done about him, and of course seeing the Broadway play on him, so forth, movies. The idea is that he certainly appreciated his place in the game, that he would get a kick out of something like that, right? I mean, that would be a big deal to him. And I'm not saying egomaniac, but I guess every coach has got an ego.
Of course. If you play the game, you've got an ego. It's just a matter of it being healthy,
yeah,
and being comfortable with it, and not going into arrogance. Ego is, you got to be cautious with it, because it can become arrogance very simply and very easily, and often does. And arrogance is ugly, and it is right. Counterproductive, and we don't like that. But a healthy ego, I think that's part of life.
What would be his reaction to seeing that? What would he say? That's what he would laugh just
I
like that.
I think he would laugh. I think he'd say, look at that. He had a wonderful laugh. You know, he's a horrible joke teller, but he just had a wonderful laugh, and a belly laugh, a deep, just a roaring laugh.
Was his football pure, you know, his being a football purist, would that have, with all of this, being Radio Row, being having thousands of media throughout the world, having players in time, you know, being pulled in all directions, having himself pulled in all directions for these media responsibilities, would that have bugged him?
I think to a certain extent, you know, he was focused on the game and focused on focusing us on the game. And so every distraction was a problem. And he hated the distractions. And actually for Super Bowl I, we stayed in Santa Barbara the week before the game and came down the day before the game to get away from the distractions. So it probably would have been annoying to him. And he always got a little nervous, too, before the game. And I got a CD out called Inside the Locker Room. And I was playing it recently, and I was listening to it again. And we're getting ready for Super Bowl II, and he's telling us where to line up. Now, we've been together for 9 years. And we've been through 150 games or something, right?
Yeah.
And he said, okay, we're going to be introduced left guard, left tackle, left right, center, right. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. He's telling us, yeah, how to line up and how we're going to be introduced. And this is like our 200th time.
Yeah.
So he was a little nervous, is what that was. And so he was just going over a few things and
sure,
last minute details. But also he was settling himself down, I think.
Jerry Kramer, the legendary former Packer offensive lineman, of course part of the victories, the championships of Super Bowls 1 and 2. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from Radio Row at Super Bowl 46. The fact that you and those Packer players were part of winning the first two Super Bowls, it should give you some kind of ownership of this game in some respect. Beyond the fact that it's called the Vince Lombardi Trophy, you guys set the table for the 44 Super Bowls that have followed.
Well, there was a quality about that Green Bay Packer team. It was a time in society when we were questioning a lot of values in our society. And we were free love and all kinds of expressions and whatnot. And we were a team that was disciplined and committed, professional. Mm-hmm. We wore our blazers and our ties, and we conducted ourselves like professionals.
Sure.
And we had a whole different take on the world. So we were kind of an anachronism, maybe, something from yesterday, the day before, or behind. But his philosophies were from the ancient Greeks. He read ancient Greek. He read Latin. And I think Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence then is not an occasional act, it's a habit. Coach Lombardi said it very simply: you don't do things right once in a while, you do them right all the time. I hear that voice in the back of my mind, you know, and will forever hear it. But he had a bunch of very fundamental basic values: hard work, preparation, commitment, consistency, discipline, pride, character, perseverance, the kind of things that I think are necessary in any walk of life if you want to be a success.
And the rarity, because you didn't have the so-called troublemaker guys. You were, like you say, all buttoned on. But you, of course, you had a Max McGee. Of course, you had a Paul Hornung. And Max's thing was legendary, missing curfew and then playing in the game and having the big catch and so forth. But I wonder today how, with the kind of media scrutiny that we have now, how that would have played in 2012 versus back in the 60s.
Interesting question. You think maybe Max might change his strategy just a little bit and not go to Sunset Strip the night before the Super Bowl. But then Max was Max. He was a free spirit and a wonderful athlete, a super talented athlete, and used a fraction of his skills most of the time. Of course, Hornung was his companion, and they one couldn't find trouble, the other could. So they were constantly looking for something to do or something to get into, and they're a great story. They're a great part of our fun up there.
This being a Cleveland show, just want to connect you to any of the great Cleveland memories you have between the Packers and the Browns and that era.
Oh, we had some great games against the Browns. We used to go into the preseason, we'd go play a doubleheader there, and Otto Graham was my coach at the college all-star game, so I had a little appreciation for the Browns, and Jimmy Brown, of course, was playing at the time, and I had a great deal of appreciation for Jimmy Brown. So we would be introduced at the second game, and 80,000 people plus, I guess, around 85,000, I can't remember exactly, but would boo. And it would be a long, prolonged, loud boo, and they just came down on us, right? And so it was fun to get in the game and at halftime be ahead a score or two, if you could, and then have the boos quiet down and the people start to trickle out the stadium and leave the game. But it was always exciting to play the history of the team, the storied nature of the franchise. Sure. Plus, Jimmy Brown was just a colossal figure in professional football, and all of us were impressed with Jimmy Brown.
Well, on top of the fact that you were a five-time first-team All-Pro, named to the 1960s All-Decade team, won the five NFL championships in an 11-year career as an offensive guard for the Browns, also an outstanding author, one of my favorite books of all time, Instant Replay, that you co-authored with Dick Schaap, and talking about that 1967 Ice Bowl championship game against Dallas. You're such a man of many things besides football. But I think, I more than anything, I love the fact that you don't forget. And the whole point about the Wounded Warriors is it has a big place in your heart. You're here, of course, on behalf behalf of Blimpie with that cause in mind. And why is it so important to you, and what is it that you think you can do? Jerry, I know it's not a one-man thing, but how much do you think can be done to help with it?
Well, I think, first of all, you can say thanks. I appreciate what you've done, and I appreciate your sacrifice, and I appreciate the fact that you went over there to take care of us.
Yep.
I understand, and I applaud you for that, and so thank you. I don't know how much you can impact their life. I don't know what you can do to change their life much at this point, but you can say thank you and say that I appreciate your sacrifice and what you've done for this nation. And you have made my life very comfortable and very cozy and very warm by going to Iraq and Afghanistan and around the world to take care of some problems that I couldn't do.
Sure.
So thank you. It'd be the biggest thing I'd say, Vic.
That's a beautiful thought and really a beautiful cause. And we thank you so much for joining us on this show.
Thank you.
It's an honor. He's the legend. Jerry Kramer, former Green Bay Packer, champion of Super Bowls 1 and 2, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from Radio Row, Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.